Brother, can I start?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. May the Lord's name be praised. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. A wonderful verse. We have come by the invitation of the Lord Himself. We have come to the throne of grace. I heard someone say, the most busiest place in the whole universe. I don't know whether I should say universe or not, because God is above all that He created. That God is inviting us to come to the throne of grace. That place is the most busiest place in all of the universe, the throne of grace. And we have an invitation to come to the throne of grace. That is where we have come this evening. It's my privilege to join with you in this time of prayer. The first thing that I would like to bring to our attention, my attention and yours, is we are here by invitation. Who is the one who invites us? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The God of the universe is inviting us to come to the throne of grace. This is a gracious invitation to draw near. Often I wonder how many of us take this invitation seriously. Yes, we all pray. But have we understood really the gracious invitation by none other than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come to the throne of grace? When we look at the angels who come before Him, or who is in His presence, as we read in Isaiah 6, they cover with four wings, they cover with the two wings they serve. For reverently they come. We know in the Word of God in the Old Testament, people who came carelessly to the presence of God, what happened to them? We remember King Uzziah. When he did something, he came where he was not supposed to approach. We know about Korah and Dathan, what happened to them? Even in the New Testament, we know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Bible says in Hebrews 12, the last verse, our God is a consuming fire. But this evening, that place has become a throne of grace for you and I. And the Lord is telling us to come. Come boldly. How did we get this privilege to come? And the verses there says that because we have a compassionate high priest. The earlier verses says, verse 14, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like us we are, yet without sin. Now when I think about the high priest Aaron, think about his brother Moses, I often wonder why God chose Aaron as the high priest, not Moses. Moses grew up in a palace, but Aaron lived among the slaves, among the Israelites. He understood their problems better than Moses because he lived among them. He understood. Of course, Aaron had failures. He was not without sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the high priest who is without sin, and he has ascended into glory. He is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, and he is inviting us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Who is this Lord? 1 Timothy 6, we read, verse 16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to him be honor and power everlasting. Amen. First, understand who is inviting us. The one who dwells in unapproachable light, the one who is immortal. He has come and become a man. He has become a high priest who is compassionate. Remember the time a leper came to the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 1? He said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He knew one thing, that the Lord is able, but he was not sure whether he was willing. Because he's a leper. He cannot approach. The Lord said, I am willing, be thou clean. Here is our high priest who is both willing and able. There are a lot of people in the world who are willing, but they are not able. There are many people who are able, but they are not willing. But we have come to the throne of grace, to our great high priest, to God our Father, through the great high priest, who is both willing and able. What a confidence that gives to us when we come to the throne of grace. That we have someone who is compassionate. He understands you and I. He knows what we are going through. He knows the struggles of our life. Remember when the Lord sent the disciples in the boat in the sea and he was in the mountain. He knew. He could see. He went up to pray. That is the present ministry of our Lord at the right hand of the Father. He knows the struggles of our life. Be it coronavirus, be anything that we go through in our life. He's there in the mountain. He sees. You know, he comes down at the fourth watch of the night. He comes down at the right time when all our ability, all our resources are over. The disciples were rowing. They were doing everything they could. But when they became helpless, when there was no other source, in the fourth watch of the night, the Lord came down, walking on the water. To their rescue, to their safety, he comes. This is the Lord who is calling us to come to the throne of grace. Oh, I wonder if I really understand the privilege to come to the throne of grace. If we understand who is inviting us, to where he is inviting us, we will be people of prayer. We will be people of prayer. Brothers and sisters, I believe the meeting of the assembly for prayer is actually the meeting that shows our spiritual temperature. It's not the breaking of bread, even though it is important. Our assemblies have often become breaking of bread meetings. The prayer meetings have become least attended because we seldom understand the privilege of prayer. Come boldly to the throne of grace. We read when we come to that place, in James we read chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Of course, the context of the wisdom is in the face of tribulation, difficulties we go through. But any time when we come to the throne of grace, he will never upbraid us, or he will never scold us. Now, I have for connection with the ministry that we do in Bangalore. Many a times we have to go to government officials. You know, they rebuke us sometimes. Hey, didn't you come yesterday? Why you came again? Or they will tell, come another day. When we make phone calls to a lot of people, we see that the line is busy. You know, but there is one place you can go and he will never rebuke you for coming again and again and again. He will never rebuke you. You can bring the greatest matter to him. You can bring the smallest matter. You know, I read about our Lord. He's the one who counts all the stars and names them, you know. I think it is in Job, the book of Job, we read that he count the stars each by name. How great is he? How great is our God? But then again, I read that he listened to the cries of the ravens. When their little one cry for food, he hears. Can you imagine that? The God who counts the stars, the billions and billions and billions of stars, calls each by name. He is also the one who hears the cry of the ravens when their little one cry for food. I can take the biggest matter to him. I can take the littlest mundane thing, I can take it to him. He will never rebuke me. But how is our prayer life when we come to pray? Scripture says in Romans 8:26 that we don't know what to pray for. Is that not true? However, many times our prayer is childish, isn't it? Many a times my prayer is very childish. We look at the prayers of the Bible, of men of God, whether it was Moses' prayer, whether it was Ezra's prayer in chapter 9 of Ezra, Nehemiah's prayer, Daniel 9, their prayer. What was the peculiarity of their prayer? It was all in line with the word of God. When Moses was praying, God said, I'm going to destroy these stiff-necked people. I'm going to make you a great nation. Moses quoted the word of God and said, but God, you know what will happen if you do that? You know what people will say? You have said, you have promised. You have promised to our fathers. You have promised. It was always the word of God they quoted. The promises of God. How childish is many times my prayer, our prayer. Most of our prayers are bless me, bless me, bless me. Isn't it? The Lord says in Ephesians 1:3 through Apostle Paul, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. But most of our prayer is bless us, bless me, bless me. There's nothing wrong in asking God to bless, but we should come to him quoting the word of God. Scripture and prayer goes together. Scripture, take the word of God and tell it back to him. Say, Lord, you said it. You know, God is pleased when we take his word and pray. And many a times our prayer is childish. Another one of the prayer we pray is, God be with me. God be with us. One preacher said like that, when we pray like that, God be with us, whether God will laugh or God will cry. Because we have the word of God that says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This is Matthew 28:20. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Someone said that is the verse that you can read forward and backward. I'll read it. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can read it backward. Thee forsake nor thee leave, never will I. What a promise. Yet most of our prayer is, God be with me. God be with my brother. The brother is going there. Be with me. Be with me. That shows the childishness of our prayer. We have not grown in the word of God to claim the promise of God. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. All I have to do is thank God for every blessing. Come to him. Claim that as, I'm not telling like claim it and name it theology or prosperity gospel, but take the word of God and bring it to him and say, Lord, you have promised. I have come according to your word. What a joy it will be to the heart of God when we say, Lord, you have said it. and I come because you said it. Many times our singing, many of our songs are also not scriptural. You know the very famous song, Shine, Jesus, Shine? Flow, river, flow. We are telling sun to shine. Does sun ever stop shining? Maybe there is some cloud. That is why we cannot see. But the sun is always shining. You don't need to tell the river to flow because it's always flowing. We don't need to tell Jesus to shine. The problem in my life is the sin that is hindering. We come claiming the promises of God, the word of God. The elders of the church, their main responsibility is prayer and the word of God. The prayer and the word of God. When there was a problem in the Jerusalem church, the apostles and the elders said, we, you select people that will do the administrative job, serving on the table, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the word of God. Dear brothers and sisters, prayer and the word of God are linked together when we approach God. Many a times we don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. Thank God for the helper, the Holy Spirit, who knows our frailty and he will help us. I think many of our prayers have to be edited, and the Holy Spirit does that before he takes it to the throne of grace, isn't it? May God help us as we have come to realize to whose presence we have come. A God who dwells in unapproachable light. No man can see. No man has ever seen. The Lord Jesus Christ, because he's our compassionate high priest, is calling us to come. What a privilege we have to come to the presence of God this morning. What can we bring before him? Everything. He will not chide us. He will not rebuke us. If I go to the president of US, President Trump or Modi, the Prime Minister of India, and I get an appointment, very difficult to see them, but somehow I got an appointment, I go to him, and I go and tell him, my son don't have a pencil or pen for his school. What will he do to me? What will they tell me? They'll call me a fool, idiot. Is that why you came to me? You know, to our Father in heaven, we can take the smallest matter, the smallest matter. We can take the greatest matter. He is concerned about both. Come to the throne of grace. What time you can come? Anytime. Anytime, day, night. You know, we have the longest prayer in the Bible. We have the shortest prayer. Some of the longest prayer are chapter 3, chapter 9 of Ezra, chapter 9 of Daniel, chapter 9 of Nehemiah. Little long prayer. Maybe Solomon's prayer, long prayer. Maybe our Lord Jesus Christ's high priestly prayer in John 19, little long prayer. We also see the shortest prayer, right? Here is Peter going down, sinking in the water. What is his prayer? Lord, save me. And then I read in Nehemiah chapter 1, chapter 2, here is the king asking Nehemiah, what do you want? What is your request? And we read, Nehemiah is telling, let me read that verse. It's very, very encouraging. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Then the king said to me, what dost thou make request? What dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven and I said unto the king. You know, just the king is asking him, what do you want? In between, he sent a telegraphic prayer to heaven. I prayed to God and said to king, I don't know how long it took, maybe a split second or 2 seconds, 1 second, a pause, whatever. It's the shortest prayer, I believe, in the Bible. I prayed to God and said to the king, before we go to any man in authority, we can go to the God of the universe and bring our petition. We are here by invitation. in Joshua, I'm going to close in 1 or 2 minutes. In Joshua chapter 10, we read that there's a prayer. Joshua prayed and God stopped the rotation of the sun, the moon. What a great prayer. I don't think there's any other prayer like that. Joshua 10, he prayed to God in a battle with the Amalekites, I believe. And he prayed to God, and God, look at this verse. Joshua 10:12-14. I'll read only the word. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Verse 14, there was no day like that before it or after it. The Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. You know, just think about that. A man praying when he is battling the battle of God. He said, Lord, we need a little extra time. So you do something. You stop the rotation of the sun. Not difficult for the God who, with whom nothing is impossible. And God hearkened to the prayer of a man. The greatest prayer. What is the least requesting? Maybe give us this day our daily bread. I don't know how many of us pray that prayer. You know, when we have the fridge and our freezer full, why do we need to pray, give my our daily bread? Maybe the least prayer, give me bread today. Or stop the sun. God heard the prayer. Brothers and sisters, this evening we have come to the throne of grace by invitation. Let's come, and based on his invitation, we can bring our petition. May his name be glorified. Thank you for the opportunity given.